take a break from Tanya just for a day. We'll get back to tomorrow again. This week, we're going to have Shir basically every day because I'm leaving. I want to just get everything nicely packaged and platformed for the next when I come back. So we're going to have shorter Shir. I'm not going to have 2 hours Shir every day, but I just want to make sure we keep our pace and our rhythm going. Okay, so we talked a little bit about Avram's tefillah. I actually had a really cute story happen to me. I was sitting in the Purva Shul for Maariv, and I went and I sat, where I normally sit every year I go. I like sitting in that little corner behind that Rosh Hashiva of the kids' school where we're talking to. So I sat down, and all of a sudden, I was learning for a couple minutes before davening, and then another man came, also a very saintly-looking man with a white kippah struga and peos, you know, that's a tzaddik looking man sitting next to the yeshivish looking man in front of me. And I got up. I said, "This is your makom. Please take it." I moved over. No. Everyone's very, very kind. I'm a makom. I said, "This week's parsha. Minali the kavale makom is parsha's vayera. Makom is ramachan. That's where we learn makom kavur from Avram in parsha's vayera." So I'm not taking someone's makom kavur in parsha's vayera. So everyone started laughing as I quoted the Gemara to them. So, you know, that's like funny for us, right? That's like our type of humor. You quote a Gemara on Parshas Vayera because you're not going to give up a Makom Kavur to someone. So anyway, so we spoke about Vayera. So now let's talk a little bit about Chayesara. And we encounter the next tefillah. But the next tefillah also has a very interesting phrase. None of these words are written tefillah. There are different phrases that are used to describe tefillah. What word describes tefillah in Parshas Chayesara? Vayetzi Yitzchak. And of course, the word sicha appears in Tehillim as a reference for a specific type of tefillah. Tefillah l'ani ki yatov, l'tnei Hashem yishpoch sicha. So in that pasuk, there's a contrast between tefillah and siach. Tefillah l'ani ki yatov, l'tnei Hashem yishpoch sicha. Not necessarily antithetical, but they're different, or else the pasuk won't repeat them. Or, eshpoch l'fanav sichi, sarasi l'fanav agid. There's a contrast between Sichi and Sarasi. So evidently, if you take these two psukim together, and also you just look at the context of Chayesara, Siach means something a little less formal. It's not Sarasi, I'm not pouring out my needs, it's not my tefillah, it's something a little less formal, and you don't really need the psukim in Tehillim in the contrast. And those psukim, even the word, we use the word Siach to mean conversation, talking. We don't have to go to Tehillim to prove that the term siach doesn't mean a formal amida, lifnei Hashem, where you lodge your claims with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do we learn from sicha of tefillah? How does sicha change our perspective of tefillah? So I think that sometimes we approach tefillah, and again, I'll just say this again and again, there's so many different ways of davening, dozens and dozens of different emotional moments and frames of mind, and when you're tired, like sometimes my best tefillah is when I have the least kavanah. I just feel like last night, I hardly slept, and I'm exhausted, and I pull myself out to daven, I stood in front of Hashem, and I don't know, if I look back how much kavanah did I have today, it was a hard day for me for kavanah. But the experience of just standing with Hashem, and getting up in the morning, and starting my day, and making Birchas HaTorah, and asking Hashem for success in Talmud Torah, it set my day, and you know, some days I'll have different experiences. So, siach is a less formal experience in davening. Sometimes people come and ask me, I've got so much on my mind, I'm worried about my tests and my parents and my future and my college and my job and my girlfriend and so much on my mind. How do I clear my mind so that I can daven? And the answer is, don't clear your mind. Just share that with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So sometimes the tefillah is shevach, hoda, bakasha. And sometimes it's just talking to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's just, I've got all these issues on my mind. I don't really know how to solve them. Maybe they shouldn't be on my mind, but they are on my mind. This is the honest truth, and this is where I am right now, and a lot happening in my world. And that's why tefillah is such a good barometer of a person's Yirat Shamayim. Because, let me put it to you this way, okay? I'm not going to see my wife tonight till 8:30 when she comes home. But we're going to WhatsApp a couple times today. I've got to take care of a few things for her. She brought the clothing to the cleaner today. Like we have a lot of kids and grandkids we're dealing with. We're juggling parents. And so like we're in the same space. We're not going to see each other, but we're thinking about each other. We're engaged with each other. We're married, but we're engaged. Don't worry. We're like integrated with one another. Now, when I come home tonight and I see her at 8:30 and I finally sit with her at the dinner table, which we're not going to do because she'll eat her, but whatever, let's say we were. I'm not going to go like this. Pass the salt. How was your day? I need to have kavana, because I've spent the whole day with her in the background. And now is the hour or two we can have face-to-face time. And the fact that we've had that background relationship the whole day means that we finally have time together. It's the most natural continuation, like turning on a faucet. It's there. The water's there. Now you just turn the faucet. You know what I compare it to? Like if you open up Word. So depending on how strong your computer is, it takes a second, maybe 2 seconds. But what if Word is minimized in the tray table and then you maximize it? It pops right up. Shavisa Hashem Lenegdi Summit doesn't mean you're thinking about Hashem all day. I hope when you're driving, you're not thinking about Hashem. Certainly if you're driving on the road that I'm in, I want you to be thinking about the cars. I hope when you're performing surgery, you're not thinking about Hashem. I hope you're thinking about the surgery. Please don't be my surgeon if you're coming with the Musa Sefer or somewhere else. When you're learning a Tosfos, you're not thinking about Hashem. You're thinking about the Tosfos. When you're a doctor, you're not thinking about Hashem. So you hardly really think about Hashem because you're involved in so many activities that require your focus. But then you ask yourself, well, what's the framework? Why am I driving carefully? Why am I trying to be a good doctor? Why am I trying to be a good husband? Why am I learning Tosfos? Why am I attending to all these actions with the following motives and tenor as opposed to other behavioral patterns? Because I want to speak of it Hashem. So Hashem's in the background. It's like that word program that's minimized. And then when I daven, if I have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's the most natural segue. Okay, now I want to talk to you. This is my 15 minutes to be with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The rest of the day I was with you, but not really with you. So I was with Tosfos, and I was eating, and I was doing all the things you want me to do. And I'm doing it because that's your will. Your will is not for me to crawl into a fetal position and sit in the corner and think about you. Your will is for me to change the world, learn Torah, marry, prove umalot v'chiv shua. So all of a sudden, tefillah becomes the barometer for a long-standing framed relationship with Hashem. Can tefillah just be this natural segue into a conversation with Hashem? That's why, this is my only, I'm not a Hasidic Rebbe, but this is my only mofes. Okay, Gavi, you like this story especially, okay? My only mofes is that my Zaidi told me that there's this false story, this false apocryphal story, that in the yeshivas in Europe, the father of the bride would come in and ask the mashgiach, give me your biggest lamdan. I want your biggest lamdan. My Zaidi told me, no, that's not what happened. First of all, there's an old masara that lamdanim don't always make the best husbands, for all sorts of reasons. Whatever. We'll talk about some other time. But the real way the story went down is he walk in and say, I want your best davener. I want your best davener. Because davening was always seen as a greater barometer of spiritual engagement, spiritual passion, than learning, which can become very intellectualized, very detached, very distant. But if you daven, then you have a keshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is this a mofes? Actually, it's a mofes, and it also reminds me of one of the most mortifying stories in my life. First, the mofes. Okay? I've told this story for years and years and years. That's how important davening is. You know how seriously we take davening. How hard we're working with you within reason. We're not going to chain you to the base matters, but just we keep saying this is really where success and failure lies. So anyway, so about 11 years ago, I was on a Pesach program, and I walked into the makeshift shul we were davening, and davening mincha. I see this boy, a kippah sruga, tzitzis out. He's like davening so nicely, davening so spiritually, so passionately. So I go over to his father. I say, I have a girl. Maybe you want to make a shidduch. Gavi, that's Gidon. That's my son-in-law. So I went over to Ari Kurvietsky and he became my son-in-law. And it was based on Parshas. This Masara comes from Parshas Chayasara. Because how does Rivka fall in love with Yitzchak? Obviously, she's predestined to marry Yitzchak. She sees him davening. So this whole check the davening to see the neshama of the person, which started in Parshas Chayasara and continued throughout all the great yeshivas. And I got myself a good one. So, and I played the mofes role. Comes from Parshas Chayasar. Now, there's also a very, very mortifying part to that story. Okay, I'm going to come clean and don't tell anyone. I'm shutting off the recording. My parents weren't locals in New York, so when we moved to New York from Baltimore, they didn't really know the lay of the land. So, which school to send me to, which camp. So, basically, I was the guinea pig, the oldest kid. They took a dartboard, they threw a dart. 1976, 75, where do you think the dart landed? Camp Seneca Lake. I'm a proud alumnus. For about a year, I was traumatized beyond anything I can describe to you. It took me years of therapy to get past that. And then like the next year, they like shuttled me to Camp Monk, and thank God they detoxed me. But I went through, I can't tell you what I went through that summer. It was your worst nightmare come true. Anyway, so at the end of the summer, you know how they hand out awards to everyone in the bunk with a little card, and you get your award, right? So my counselor, I still remember it, a big afro. His name was Ness. I don't want to tell you what we called it. It's not appropriate for me as a rabbi to tell you what we called Ness with a big fro. But it was the 60s and 70s. So he gives me a card. He says, I'm the best davener. Like, you don't want to be the best davener at Camp Seneca. Like, I got beaten up. I got made fun of. I got abused and harassed. Best davener. You were 10 years old. Like, I remember standing by the bus stop. Talk about mortifying, pleading with my counselor, please, I don't want to be the best doctor. Please don't be the best doctor. Please give me something else. Please. So he takes my card with like a little Sharpie and he grows it out. So I got the best third baseman. Great. Like, there's only one third baseman. That was it, because like, I was the biggest loser. Who plays third baseman when you're 10 years old? I ain't played third. I want to be the catcher or the pitcher. I ended up being a pretty good third baseman in the end of the day, but I could hold the hot corner. But so anyway, so there I was in 75 pleading, I don't want to be the best davener. And I've taken me years and years to recover from that trauma. And hopefully wherever my counselor is now, probably strung out somewhere, who knows. You should know that I'm trying to be a good davener. Anyway, so it comes from Parsha Chayisar. It comes from the Siach. It comes from Yitzchak Ve'etze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada. Now, sometimes when I interview boys, and Baruch Hashem, I'm doing less interviews this year. I'm giving an altar by Bernstein and all those others. So Baruch Hashem. But I would always ask, because I really want to know about the neshama. Tell me about davening and tell me your favorite davening. And again, there's no right or wrong answer. Most of my questions are, you know, just, I just want to hear. Like, it's a starter question to hear what you have to say. Like, very, very rarely right or wrong answers. I mean, some are really wrong answers. I don't like davening. I like davening. I don't want the kiddush clubs. Those would be wrong answers. But anything half intelligent about, anyway, half intelligent about davening, like, is the right answer. Though, like, these are interesting. Right? You know, my tree question. This is like my famed tree question, which I never ask anymore. But a long time ago, I used to ask, if you were a tree, what type of tree would you be? Because I wanted to gauge emotional maturity. Like, I want to see, can you project yourself onto other items and see yourself from a different perspective? So my favorite answer from a person who's a really big rav today, from Rambam, you know, typical Rambam, he gave me, said, what? I'd be an Asherah tree, so everyone could bow down to me. So I put a big check next to him. I said, this guy's got moxie. If I could just break this bronco, he'll be a big person one day. Baruch Hashem, he's a rabbi today. He stayed 3 years. That was also the guy who came into yeshiva. And his whole, like, first 3 months, Rabbi, I miss my girlfriend. I said, enough of your girlfriend already. Stop bugging me, the girlfriend. If you love her, marry her. If not, leave me alone. So then he finished with his girlfriend. And then he said, Rabbi, I miss my Krispy Kreme donuts. I said, oh, God, stop it. So what I did, I told him, if you come back Shana Gimel, I will eat a Krispy Kreme donut hat.
Oh, no.
He walks in Shana Gimel with a big Krispy Kreme donut hat on his head. So I took a little shear because I was in just the Yad Society, a chatzi shear, just because I wanted to keep my word. So, he went to the Krispy Kreme people and got one of those white hats and brought it in. So if any of you stay Shana Gimel, I'll buy you a Krispy Kreme donut. There's nowhere to get it in Israel. Anyway, so I asked the question, what's your favorite tefillah? And very often the answer I get, which is a really interesting answer, most of the answers are Shacharis, Ne'ilah, Shabbos, whatever. But very often I get the answer, I like Mincha. Why do I like Mincha? Because it's just the middle of the day, and everything's happening, and it's really connected and coherent with the day. Shacharis is before the day starts. Ma'ariv is the day's closing. But Mincha is right dab smack, and that's what Yitzchak's tefillah is. Where does he daven? In the Sada. And it's not just that he's davening in the Sada, but he's davening within the Sada. He's working. He's a farmer. He's the first farmer. Avram's not a farmer. He's a shepherd. There's a difference. That's why he probably falls for Esav, because Esav is an Ish Sada. So Esav was able to reflect his highest hopes for himself. And that's why, you know, people are human beings. There's psychology involved. So he's in the middle of the Sada. He puts down his hoe. He puts down his sheath. He puts down his plow. He puts down whatever he's using. And he davens. And he talks to Hashem. And probably he's got a lot on his mind about the grains and about the furrows and about the plowing and about the animals and about the seeds and about the fertilizer that he's using. And then he goes on. So Davening doesn't always have to be saintly and high-minded, and you're standing in front of Hashem with your gautel and your hat on, and it could be much less formal, and learn to find the tefillos that reflect that. Right? I'll speak to you about this in Mirat Hashem as summer comes, but I think that people that take their tefillah seriously should be at the stage where you dress for tefillah. We'll talk maybe a little bit later about dress. So some people dress for tefillah by wearing a jacket, by wearing a hat, and they feel that's, or some people wear a jacket and a hat all day so that they can have it for tefillah. In my world, probably your world, that type of dress for tefillah isn't seen as, right? For me, if I wore a hat, I would feel like a clown. I don't wear hats. I don't see it as a sign of respect. So I wouldn't feel like I'm showing respect to Hashem by putting a hat on. But I do try to tuck myself in. I do try to make my clothing look appropriate and clean my space. And one of the things you should try to be makbid on over the next couple of years, but I'll give you the framework of this, is you should try, if you're wearing shorts, not to daven in shorts, to run back to your bunk. And that's the best lesson you can give your campers. If you're going to be counselors this year, and they see you taking 2 minutes or bringing pants to the game because you know. Now, if you're in the middle of a chutz, or you're on a teal somewhere, they'll say, okay, we got to go back and get pants. There are times you have to daven in shorts. There are times you're on a teal. I've davened in shorts. We have to daven in shorts. So you have to learn what the calibration is. But and that's maybe a less formal davening. We're in the field, and you're by a river, or you're by a camper and stuff. So we're in an airport, let's say. So davening has many different waves and many different vicissitudes to it. And Yitzchak's davening is reminding us that davening can be broken down to a sicha, can be broken down to a conversation with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and pitch your tefillah within what you're going through. Whatever you're going through, try to bring that into your tefillah. It'll be real, it'll be authentic. That's what we're searching for. We're searching for authentic tefillah, to be able to feel that you're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the language is a barrier, and the road is a barrier, and you're facing a lot of barriers. Don't get frustrated if your tefillahs aren't so successful. You don't understand the language that well. It's a routine. You say the same word every day. And also, let's face it, Baruch Hashem, and I know everyone's going through certain struggles, certain things at home, illnesses, but by and large, kids your age don't have a lot to daven for. If you really want to understand what davening is, go to a hospital for Shabbos. You'll see what davening is. And people, I mean, it's a crazy mixture of happiness and sadness because there's a tefillah, a joint tefillah in every Baruch Hashem, in every Israeli hospital is a shul. And on Shabbos, you just see half the people are getting mazel tovs because they just had babies and naming the babies and giving them mazel tov. And half the people are crawling up there with their oxygen tanks on crutches and wheelchairs because, you know, hospitals are places where there's a lot of happiness, a lot of sadness, and it all washes together in the tefillah. So if you have a chance to, by the way, which is just a nice idea, there's so much chesed in tefillah. I remember a couple of years ago, a boy applied to the yeshiva, and I've got like 5 or 6 things, which if you tell me, you're accepted right there on the spot, because it's just so much more important than whatever Gemara you know, or just, there's so many issues that speak to character and values and caliber of the person. So I was sitting and interviewing a boy, and I just said, like, tell me where you daven. He said, oh, he walks 2 miles every Shabbos with his father to a senior center to make tefillah for older people. I said, like, that's like so obviously, you know, great, great character. You know, you spend every single Shabbos walking, you know, stopping with your friends. You walk with your dad. It was great on its own. You're making tefillahs for people who came out. So it's like, obviously, you're going to get so much character from that. Of course, you might. I mean, I didn't tell him this. He had to make believe that I'm going through the interview, but, you know, put a big check on him. This is a kid who's got really good character, and good character is good raw material to build an Oved Hashem. Okay? So, these are some of the views and ideas of tefillah that come across our screen, and just pay attention to them. Tefillah is a lifelong activity. The Gemara says in Brachos, you're always working at it, you're always trying to improve it. It's never going to be perfect, but now's the time to start trying to think about it. Okay, let us move back to Bar V'Shema. We're going to finish Bar V'Shema today.